So why would you want to get baptized? Well, let's have a look at our baptismal video. Our next PowerPoint slide, please, Andrew. Baptism summary. So, baptism is a declaration, a celebration, a symbol of dying to sin and rising to new life. It's a symbol of washing away our sin, and it's for everyone. In Acts 2, verse 38, we read, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." And today we're going to look at two aspects of baptism. First, how baptism is a step of obedience. And secondly, how baptism is a symbol of forgiveness. So last week, Amma, who helped us and encouraged us to express ourselves, to be the people that God has made us to be. Baptism is not about choosing to become a clone or a robot. It's about becoming the real you, the you that God created you to be, the you that is free from what society would try and force you into, the you that is free from past mistakes and the guilt and the echo and the shadow of that. Baptism is enabling you to be the person in God who you were created to be. Jesus came that he said that he came to give life in all of its fullness, life to the full. That's John 10, verse 10. And then, as Amma was saying last week, that we are free to use our talents to his glory, to glorify his name and live our lives according to his purpose, lives of meaningfulness and significance. So baptism is a step of obedience. We follow Jesus. We are Christians. Following Christ. And we want to live our lives according to his pattern. When Jesus was baptized, he explained that he'd done this as a model for us to follow. He deliberately and intentionally said that. And when Jesus was baptized, God spoke from the cloud. And before we put up the slide, does anybody know, can any of the children tell me, what did God say when Jesus was baptized? I've got a finger up there. Can you remember? Anyone else? Help him out. A bit of stage fright. What did God say? Come on then, Becky. That's right. Yeah, that's halfway. This is my son whom I love. Anyone help him out? Help Becky out? No. Go on then. Can you remember the rest of it? With him I'm well pleased. A round of applause there. Goodness me. Good job. Well done, Becky. That's right. So we want to please God. We want to follow in obedience to him. And so for those who they grow up in faith, when they reach a decision to make that, reach a time that they can make that decision for themselves, they would choose to be baptized, choose to follow Jesus' model, believer's baptism. And the apostles also encouraged people as they came to faith, as they came to believe, to repent of their sins, turn away from their sins, and be baptized as a symbol and a sign that they were following this new way of life. A step of obedience. A symbol of that obedience too, as we try and follow in the model of Jesus. And it's also a symbol, so, of forgiveness, of how our sins can be washed away. Wonderful image of this, of us being immersed in water and rising to new life as our sins are washed away. We've died to the old way of living and we rise to new life, a symbol of forgiveness. So baptism is about forgiveness. What does it mean to be forgiven? Maybe you're thinking that sounds all a bit sort of, you know, weird. Do I need to be forgiven? If we can have our reading, I'm going to read that psalm to us now. That'd be great. Thank you. This is David writing in the Psalms. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, he writes, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions, that is my sins, the things I've done wrong, to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you, says the Lord. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds pretty good. And baptism isn't what we need to do to be forgiven. I want to be really clear about that. We are forgiven when we trust in God to forgive us, when we believe in him and trust in him. But baptism is a symbol of that wonderful forgiveness that we have experienced in our hearts. And it's often a wonderful experience and an affirmation of that and something to look back on in future years as it marks that point where we remember that we are forgiven. But can you really be forgiven? You're perhaps thinking, well, this is okay for other people, but I can't really be forgiven. So my job now is to persuade you that you can indeed be forgiven. Okay, so I need a couple of volunteers. There we go, hands straight up. Come on, Finley. Come on, Evan. Let's go. Okay, so I'm sure you're familiar with this device. This is a bowl, and these are dirty cups. I'm sure you'll have come across these in your household chores. And I've deliberately kept these dirty so that we can do some washing up this morning. You up for a bit of washing up? Woo! Yeah, we've got some enthusiasm here. This is looking good. So we need some water. Okay, there we go, some water for you. There you go. And that should be okay, shouldn't it? Right, there's a mug that I deliberately left dirty. Star Wars? Star Wars. Do you want to go Star Wars or Marvel? Star Wars? Okay, Star Wars. Marvel. Don't go Marvel. There you go. Right, okay, do you want to give those a wash for me? And let's see if we're happy with the results there. Do you want, you need a cloth? I've got cloths here. Where the cloths go? There we go. Oh, there's some cloths. What do you reckon? Do you reckon those are clean enough? Would you eat out of that? Would you drink out of that now? Are you sure? No. No. It's okay, isn't it? What was missing? Did I give you everything you needed?
Soap.
I didn't give you any soap. That's right. Give them a round of applause. Thanks, good job. Do you know, those are almost good enough to drink. They've done such a good job there. I'm really impressed. You can come around any time and do some washing up, but that's great. But no, there was no soap. There was no soap. And to be convinced that something is clean, we need some soap, don't we? We need that thing that's got the right consistency to break down all of those bad bits of coffee stain that are on those mugs. And we need the right consistency in our hearts to convince us that we are actually cleansed. And that missing ingredient, of course, is Jesus. As much as we try and scrub ourselves clean with good works, with even coming to church, if we come to church and we haven't actually met Jesus, you know, that isn't going to cut it. Or with things that we do for the poor, you know, we can try and we can try and make ourselves feel clean sometimes, acceptable to God. But actually, it's our faith in Jesus, the Bible tells us, that is the thing that makes us clean. Can we have our next slide, please, Andrew? In Romans 10, verse 10, we read, "Say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. With your heart you believe and are made right with God. With your mouth you say what you believe, and so you are saved." This is the New International Reader's Version, just slightly reworded to make it more accessible for younger ages. With your heart you believe, and that's what makes you right with God. With your mouth you say what you believe, and that's what saves you. So it's not about what we do. It's about what God has done. And it's about Jesus. When we put our trust in Jesus, when in our hearts, and when we proclaim our faith with our mouths and with our actions. So, good little reminder there. And if this is something you already know, maybe remember this as a way to explain to someone else the Bible's teaching about how they can find peace with God. Or perhaps you're thinking, well, you know, this is all very well, but I just don't feel it. Well, there's another Bible promise. Let me give you another Bible promise. This is 1 John 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus, because it was the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, wasn't it? Where he laid down his life and he took our place on the cross, makes us pure from all sin. Suppose we claim we are without sin, but we're fooling ourselves. The truth is not in us, but God is faithful and fair. If we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. He will forgive every wrong thing we have done. He will make us pure. Well, maybe I've convinced you, maybe I haven't. Maybe you're thinking, look, John, this is all very well, but mugs and dirty mugs, it's not the picture of my life. I'd need a pressure washer, you know? Well, fortunately, that can be arranged. I brought my pressure washer in today, so that can be arranged. Can someone give me a hand setting it up? Yeah, come on then, Finley. Let's see if we can set this pressure washer up. Change of plan, Catherine. Hope you don't mind. So let's plug it in here. Right, that goes in that socket there. We need to lift that up. So you can plug that in that socket. It goes in horizontally. Good job. Excellent. Give it a shove. Need a really firm shove there. Yeah, that's the one. Good job. Well done. Okay, and then this is the lance. Don't they just give these things fantastic names? It's great, isn't it? Boys and toys, eh? Fantastic. This is the lance. It's not a squirter, it's a lance. And so you put that in there. It's going to be dead handy when he gets home. And he's going to be delighted that I've shown how to set it up. Yeah, good job. Well done. And put the little clicker on. That clicker on goes there. There we go. Well done. And that goes on the front there. Okay, let's pop that in there. Goes in horizontally. Push and twist. Great job. Nope, not quite. Push and then twist. There you go. You want to hold it? Okay. Okay, and go for it. Ah, yeah, there you go. That's how it would be. It's exciting. I decided not to connect it to the water. I hope you don't mind. You have to come round sometime and you know, you can get a feel for how it goes. big grin on his face. It looks great, doesn't it? And I did have a bit of a situation, actually, this Thursday just gone. I thought, right, I just need to do a serious cleanup here. You don't need to know anymore. But I thought, right, okay, let's get this out. So can we have our video, please? And then you just get a feel. I thought I'd just give you a bit of sound just to enter into, and you can see the sort of effectiveness. There you go. Oh, that's great. I could watch that all day. Anyway, sorry. Let's move on. Wow. I mean, so quite a lot of power there, okay, because I was filming it with one hand and, you know, squirting with the other hand. So you could see it like shaking up my arm. But the power was fantastic to watch. And you see the results at the end, that you've got this lovely sort of grey path that used to be black, and you think, wow, now that is clean. That's clean. There's, you know, it looks clean. And, you know, the Bible claims that Jesus has the power, not just of a pressure washer, but Jesus has the power of the Almighty God in his hands. That is the power that has been allocated to him. So take all of the power of the biggest wave you can imagine, the fastest car you can imagine. Take the power of the biggest storm you've ever experienced. Multiply that by a million, okay, to get the power of the sun. Multiply that by 100 billion to get the power of a galaxy, because there's 100 billion suns in our galaxy. And then multiply that by another 100 billion, because there's 100 billion galaxies in the universe, and you still haven't got all of the power of God that you can imagine. And God says his power is enough to forgive your sin. God forgives, and he has the power to do that, and he gives his power to his son. And Jesus came to this world and put aside his power, laid aside his power. And then he laid down his life for us on a cross. He died so that we could be forgiven. John 3 verse 16. So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God can clean up your life. David says that he was in a slimy pit. He was in a dirty, slimy pit. And then David writes this. He brought me out of the mud and dirt. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand on. He gave me a new song to sing. It is a hymn of praise to our God. Many people will see and have respect for the Lord. They will put their trust in him. God can forgive your sin and mine as we come to him, as we confess our sins to him. And finally, in the New Testament, you're thinking, well, these are all Old Testament quotes. Well, in the New Testament, in Romans 4, Paul refers back to this psalm, saying this is what all of those Old Testament psalms were looking towards. It was never going to be fulfilled in the Old Testament sacrificial system. It was waiting for Jesus. It was pointing towards Jesus, looking forward towards him. He writes this, things are different with God. He makes ungodly people right with himself. If people trust in him, their faith is accepted. Their faith makes them right with God. King David says the same thing. He tells us how blessed people are when God makes them right with himself. So in summary, believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God. Read the scriptures, meet him there. Trust in God, confess your sins to him, and trust that he will forgive you. And receive his Holy Spirit. God gives us that assurance of his forgiveness by his Holy Spirit. Gives us the power to transform our lives and through us to transform the lives of others. We're going to be speaking more about the Holy Spirit next week. And follow Jesus. Obey his teaching. Express yourself to the glory of God so that all the praise goes to God and that other people find out about Jesus too. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for what you have done for me, that you have lifted me out of a slimy pit. You have cleansed me because of who you are, the divine Holy One, imputing your righteousness to me, giving me your clothes of robes of white, and because of your power in my life to set me free from the things that were by me. I pray for everyone listening now that they too would know of their forgiveness. Reassure us all, Lord, I pray, that this is what you have done for us as we turn to you in repentance and faith, as we confess our sins to you, as we choose once again, as we witness this baptism, this symbol of lives turned around in your name, and as we commit ourselves once again to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. May all the glory go to you. Amen.